Even though her children are grown and out of the house, Kim Wagner says that the empty nest can be an exciting and fulfilling time in life.
These days are such an adventure. To be able to be fruitful for the Lord, I'm so content, whatever He has, to be fruitful. And that's what we desire to do to our very last breath.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Tuesday, July 9th. Yesterday, we began a series called Flourishing in the Empty Nest. Nancy?
Well, I'm so enjoying this conversation with my friends Kim Wagner and Holly Eliff and Rebecca Lutzer. And we're talking about some of the blessings and challenges of middle age, empty nest season of life, the fact that seasons do change. And, you know, it seems like you just blink and you're in another season of life. They just go so quickly. So if you're thinking, I'm not in that season of life, it won't be long. And it's so good to be able to prepare our hearts for what God has ahead for us. And I'm delighted to be talking with three women who are growing in grace and aging gracefully, which I want to do. We all want to do. Listen, if you're 20, you're aging.
That's right.
And you want to be doing it gracefully, okay? We're not 20, but let's talk about this whole issue of marriage. As your children grow and leave the house, how do you prepare for that season? And then what are some of the things, ways that you can keep your marriage fresh and growing? Because that's a season when a lot of marriages don't make it. So how did you, what things as you look back have you done in your marriage that are standing you in good stead now?
We still dated while we had children at home. And I feel like that was important, you know, that we kept that connection and we kept the, you know, sending love notes to each other and the nightly prayer together is huge for us. That commitment to never go a night without praying together, no matter where we are and what parts of the country.
So you didn't wake up and realize that you were married to a stranger.
Exactly. So now we are just like on our honeymoon again, because in Holly, it'll come. And maybe you can go to New Zealand to do that. But it is much less stressful because you don't have that added pressure of, okay, we need to be to this ball game. We need to, or when children are young, children are going to walk in the room at any minute, or, you know, you just don't have that added stress and pressure of activities with children or just children in the home and the, you know, the continual caregiving that children require. And so it's a great season to be married. It's fun.
We're not quite there yet, but this past weekend, both of our, one child was gone, the other two were at a youth retreat, and we woke up on Saturday morning and there was no one in the house, and we were like, whoa, it was party time. I mean, there was no one there but us, and it was just a neat glimpse into what will come someday. Because our lives are busy and loud. But it was a sweet day together to just be able to sit and talk and go out and enjoy Arkansas, which is beautiful. And, anyway, so it was a sweet day together and it was refreshing. And what happens so many times, because we have so many people in our life and being a pastor, and we also are the caregivers for my mom, who has Alzheimer's. Mm. So life is full. And many, many times, Billy ends up at the bottom of my list, you know, because these things have to be done. And Billy will survive if I can't, you know, meet all of his needs. And so I do think that's a caution. And it's hard to keep our husbands not at the bottom of the list. Mm-hmm. So it was a refreshing weekend for us to remember that, you know, we enjoy being together. Yeah.
I would say that you really do still have to just plan time to be together, because if it's not one thing to keep you busy, it will be something else. And it didn't seem like we had a lot of time between the girls getting married, as they got married one at a time, and then the grandchildren started coming, and then I was busy helping and so forth. And When we're together and we do travel together on ministry trips and so forth, we just really enjoy each other and just enjoy being together. And it can be very intense. But then there are times when I will go visit the daughters and the grandchildren who are farther away, and I'll be gone for 4 or 5 days. And so he's by himself, and I just leave ways that he knows that I love him, and I prepare meals and put them in the freezer, or I prepare things ahead of time so he'll know that he's cared for. And he's never complained. You know, maybe I just don't know, but he has often just thanked me so much for making sure that his needs are taken care of, because he loves our daughters and grandchildren. He'd like to go and be there too. But you could just have to make the most of all the time that you have together. Because there'll be times mm-hmm. when you cannot be together for different reasons.
I think the word that probably pops in my head when I think about this is the word intentional. Mm-hmm. Because if we are not intentional about getting time together, it just does mm-hmm. not happen. We, like Kim said, we go out, try to go out once a week if we're both in town, and go out on a date night, usually with another couple that we have done that with for years. And it is just a night out for
and
us.
Just sit and talk sometimes. Don't do anything else but just talk. Just listen to him.
And it's so easy with the press of normal life to think that that doesn't matter, or that you can put that off. And you can tell in your marriage when it needs a little TLC and when it needs focus. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you can see it in your marriage when you feel like strangers sometimes, because you've been so consumed with other things. And so I think there are seasons where you have to regroup and just be very intentional about the fact that you want to maintain this relationship for the long haul. Mm-hmm. And when you are aged, which I don't think we are yet, but when you are, that there will still be a relationship there.
Mm-hmm. I know we have some younger women listening who are in a dysfunctional or difficult marriage right now and wondering if they can stay the course, wanting to get out of the marriage. What would you say to those younger women? Why is it worth hanging in there and pressing through the challenges? What are you experiencing at this season of marriage that you'd say, I'm so glad we didn't let those problems drive us apart?
Because you are going to grow up, you are going to mature, and you are going to see things different as time passes. And God will change your heart, and God will, you've invested too much to throw it away. Because I've counseled not only just women, but couples who just really want to end it. And I said, do you realize what you are talking about throwing away? You can't do that. You have to save this marriage, because it just matters. It matters to God, and it matters to your children. And, you know, they stop and think about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, too, it's a covenant relationship. When you get married, it's a covenant before God. And so I think our society takes that very lightly. We don't see it as that. And so, you know, I mean, now the new term is starter marriage, where you have a marriage and you're married. Some of my kids' friends are on their second marriage already, and they're in their early 20s. And it's tragic, because it is thrown away. But that covenant relationship is precious to the Lord, and it's all the more precious when you have to fight for it and be a champion for your marriage. And Kim, you know, I know that's on your heart because that, you know, that's part of your life message there of just fighting to keep that marriage strong.
Yeah. If we would have acted on our feelings at 5 years, we would have divorced. Mm-hmm. And so it is, for me, I love telling women that no matter how dark it is, you know, if God steps into that situation, he can transform you and your husband. And I have seen that happen over and over again. But we are living that out, the joy of what he has done and what he can do. Mm-hmm. And to just encourage women, don't try and fix him. Mm-hmm. Don't work on him. Work on your heart toward God. And that is your primary relationship. And out of the overflow of your love for God, love your husband and love him with 1 John 3:16 type of love. That that love is demonstrated in laying down your rights, your demands. Not that you become a abused wife. That's not what I'm saying. But to lay down your selfishness, your selfish self, to love him. Mm-hmm. And pick up that Colossians 3 verses really 12 through 19 gives us, it lists all these things that we're to put on, you know, humility, compassion, all of these things that we're to put on. And then at the very end, it says, and wives, submit to your husbands. And it's just kind of like it's tucked in there. But it's because it's all of these things that we're putting on, then we're going to desire to love our husbands and be in that relationship with our husbands as God intends for us to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for younger couples, too, there is such an assault on marriage right now. Just marriage in general is under assault. But especially if you have children, they are not going to hear from the world that marriage is worth fighting for. They're not going to hear from the world that staying in a marriage for a long time honors the Lord. So if you have Christian parents there who are teaching their children, this is worth fighting for. And we will stay together in our marriage because we want to honor the Lord. And then those children have so much better chance mm-hmm. of walking into their future and coming into a solid marriage and passing that chain onward, because divorce is tragic. Mm-hmm. And I know some of you in this room know that, but I deal with single moms in our church all the time who are struggling to raise their kids mm-hmm. on their own, and it is hard. It's hard to raise kids as a couple mm-hmm. nowadays, but it is really, really hard as a single parent. Mm-hmm. And so it is worth, as Kim said, going before the Lord and saying, help me to be the woman you want me to be, to love the husband you've given me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that, I mean, sometimes I deal with a friend of mine whose husband left after multiple affairs, abandoned their family while they were in a foreign country. Mm. And, you know, there was not anything she could do after that. And she is struggling now to raise her kids. But she wants her children to know that she still believes that marriage is mm-hmm. a good thing and what God's type of home would look like. Because they don't have that at the moment, but she wants them to believe that that's what they need.
Mm-hmm. Let me come back to marriage in kind of post-young children era. How do you keep from boredom, from taking your mate for granted? How do you keep the relationship fresh and growing? I know we talked about intentionality, but what are some practical ways, once the children are out or mostly out of the home, how do you not just get bored with each other?
One thing we like to do on Friday nights is we read through books together. And it's normally hymn reading. And it's not necessarily always a theological book. It can be, you know, a novel that's good. But it usually is something something we're both interested in theologically, usually. Even last year, he read through the Chronicles of Narnia again. We did that with our children. Then we did that together. You know, here we are, old grandparents, and we're just doing it together, but we love it. And then we talk about it, and it was precious. I'm watching my husband tear up as he's at this one scene where Aslan, you know, I'm tearing up. But I just love the fact that having that kind of dialogue and tenderness together where we're sharing things that we're both interested in and just the privacy of our home, enjoying one another. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday mornings are our favorite time together because we both, you know, he has his coffee. I have my tea. We have our devotional together. He reads to me from your devotional first. And then we talk
it's
about that.
The quiet place.
Then we talk about that. Then we talk about, you know, he shares with me what he's going to be sharing from the word the next day. And we just have our time of really relating what's going on in our lives, but also just spiritually what's going on, you know.
I think you almost have to be dead or in a coma to be bored. There's just there's so much going on. Things that people will expect of you and things that you just are responsible for and that you need to do. And we get our calendars out. It's usually a Saturday morning. And we compare our calendars and make sure we both know what each other is doing. And sometimes there's some surprises and, you know, we got something going on the same date. But to just really communicate a lot and to just be really kind to each other. And it's kind of a different, it just feels different when you're old and getting older when you're relating to this man that, you know, you said yes to. 40 some years ago, and you know, you're both you really both are different by now. You look different, you feel different, and you know, you got your aches and pains, and it's just that you're comfortable with each other and you really just care about each other so much. And, and I like to say to people when I'm saying goodbye and I know I'm not going to see them for a while, like a couple, I'll say, take good care of each other, because I really think that that's something that we have to think about. Is to take care of each other.
And the point will come generally when one of you will be without the other.
Right.
And generally one's
already happening in our age group. You know?
So how do you talk about that? Do you prepare for that?
Yeah. We do.
You do?
Absolutely. We do. Well, and maybe that's because, you know, it's so fresh with my dad passing and watching my mom walk through it. But we do talk about that. And, you know, but I tell my husband, his grandparents all were in their 90s. So I think, you know, I'm hoping he's going to live out what they did. You know, I hope I'm not going to lose him. But, yeah, we do talk about that.
Oh, well, we don't talk about that right now. To me, I mean, Nancy was talking about her 85 years earlier that she's asked the Lord to give her. And I'm thinking, okay, old, maybe 82. You know, you start into old age at 82.
You must not have any aches
and pains. Holly, listen, my mother was widowed at 40.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. My dad dropped dead at 53.
So you had it.
So, that's true. And we know there are younger widows. Mm-hmm. And you can't assume that you're going to have him. Until your children are grown.
And I don't know that. I'm really, really grateful for the years the Lord has given us. I mean, Billy's mom had Alzheimer's. My mom has Alzheimer's. But we don't sit around talking about what if we have Alzheimer's. And so I think the Lord intends for us to live with intentionality with what he's given us right now, our plates are very full with what he's given us right now, and we want to be faithful with that. If the Lord, and when the Lord brings another chapter, then I'm also very aware that the Lord will be sufficient for that chapter. But we tend to keep our focus more on what God is doing right now.
Do you think it's important to talk about things like, and I hope I don't embarrass anybody here, but I've been talking to a lot of my married friends and finding that in some cases, the wife, in a few cases, the husband, has no clue about like their financial situation. Is it important to have that kind of discussion about practical?
I think it's very important. Yeah. Maybe we just are strange that we're comfortable talking about, you know, if you go before I do or I go before you, and what would that look like with our home and the things that we have and our kids and where you might go and where I would be. And knowing the finances and where everything is, and I write all the bills because that's just easier for me to take care of than for him to do. But he needs to know all about that, and I need to know all about finances as far as retirement and accounts and things like that. Absolutely. I, like you, Nancy, know of multiple situations where they didn't talk about that or a lot of other things, and it was just a shock and surprise mm-hmm. for either the husband or the wife mm-hmm. to be left and not know. Yeah. Mm. No, I don't think it's strange to talk about it.
Well, in this season, what our prayer is for however long we have, though, and what we've adopted is Psalm 92. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. We want to flourish in our final years, in our however long we have. You know, I hope we do have till 85 or 90, if that's what the Lord has for us. But that this will happen. They still bear fruit in old age, green, full of sap, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him, to declare to this next generation that the mm-hmm. Lord, he is God. And for me right now, these days are such an adventure to be able to be fruitful for the Lord. I'm so content, whatever he has. If it's today, I'm to sit with a loved one in the hospital who's dying, or if it's I'm to come up here and be with you ladies for recording. I mean, to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. And that's what we desire to do to our very last breath. Mm-hmm.
And I want to throw out a challenge to women who are kind of in that empty nest season about your marriage and how much the younger generation needs for your marriage to reflect something that they would want to have.
Right.
I've heard younger people say, I don't know any marriages I really respect. I don't know any marriage that I'd really want to have that kind of marriage. That's a really sad thing. Now, I think there are those marriages that are worth emulating. But, you know, it's not just a matter of you being happy with your mate in this season. It's a matter of if you are married, what you're reflecting to your children,
right.
to their friends, to the younger generation, that there is what selfless love looks like.
Right.
What sacrifice looks like, mm-hmm. what living for others looks like, and that God can bring joy in every season of life.
Yeah.
And even though there are hard things and hard times, what a responsibility and privilege we have as women in those middle-aged years. That's what they are. Actually, technically, they're past middle-aged, but to be casting a vision for younger women to say, you know, it's worth walking with Christ. It's worth persevering faith, mm-hmm. pursuing faithfulness. It's worth loving your mate well. It's worth working through the hard times. And for them to see a couple that love each other, that are still, that are fruitful, that aren't living for themselves, I think that gives, it casts a vision for that gives those younger people something to follow and something mm-hmm. worth living for.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss encouraging all of us to embrace the opportunities God is providing in every season of life. This week, we've been focusing particularly on women in the empty nest season. And Nancy's been visiting with Kim Wagner, Holly Eliff, and Rebecca Lutzer. We'd like to send you a copy of their conversation on CD when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. Your donation will help us continue providing Revive Our Hearts on the radio and online. Your gift matters a lot, especially here in the summer when donations tend to be lower. When you provide a gift of any size, ask for the CD series, Flourishing in the Empty Nest. Our number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, for several years, Holly Eliff cared for young children and a mother with Alzheimer's. She says she had to keep telling herself the truth.
This is not accidental. It is in your life, but it's not by accident. And if it's in your life, and I'm in your life, then there is provision for what you need.
Hear about God's strength for the sandwich generation tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.